When we first moved to Dallas a couple of years ago, my wife and I enrolled our younger daughter Adelaide in a daycare at the Jewish Community Center. So most days, Addie would come home singing Passover songs or Hanukkah songs. The first mealtime blessing she ever learned, and to this day still sings to us every single night as we sit down for dinner, was in Hebrew, naturally. Melody and I have long joked with friends that there's something ironic about two Episcopal priests raising a nice little Jewish daughter. One of our favorite things about the JCC was that every Friday, the kids at the daycare ate challah for their snack. Challah being, you know, that sweet loaf of bread that is traditional in Jewish families for Shabbat dinner. And families could then pick up a loaf of challah when you came to pick up your child at the end of the day on Friday to take home for dinner. Adelaide loved challah, loved it. So one night, last December, Melody and I and the girls are sitting down for dinner, and we're talking about our day. And the Advent wreath is there in the middle of the table, the dining table. It's where we keep our Advent wreath. And along with the Advent wreath is a nativity set, a Peruvian nativity set with these beautiful, tall, elegant figures. Now, you have to understand, we own about 30 nativities from around the world. I'm not sure if that competes with J.D. and David, but it's as many as we have. And it's our tradition, much as it is here at Transfiguration, for the Magi to begin their migration all the way across the living room and slowly make their way during the month of December until finally reaching their destination on Epiphany, you know, the way it's supposed to be. And it's also our tradition to take the baby Jesus's, Jesus I, whatever the plural is, to take those small figures out of the nativity scenes and to place them in a drawer, in a whole separate room, a drawer we call the Jesus drawer. It's not the closet, it's the drawer. And Jesus comes out of the drawer on Christmas Day. And the girls love the Jesus drawer. They're absolutely obsessed with the Jesus drawer, really. And they go in and they peek into the Jesus drawer every single day, it seems like. I think as though, you know, Jesus might have gotten up to something. I'm not sure. So there we are at dinner that night. And Isabel, our older daughter, notices, as though noticing this nativity set for the very first time. And she really looks at it and she thinks to herself and says out loud something to the effect of, the Jesus in this nativity, I didn't put in the Jesus drawer. It's like she's aware of this nativity for the first time and realizes that she never did what she was supposed to do and put the Jesus away. And so Melody points out that in this particular nativity, Mary is cradling the baby Jesus, that they're all one figure. And so Melody points this out to the girls, to which Adelaide bursts out, "That's not the baby Jesus, that's challah." You know, sometimes religious education really does work. And after we controlled our hysterical laughter, Melody and I just looked at each other, first with surprise and delight, and then with a growing sense of amazement. Because, you know, unbeknownst to Adelaide, she had just said something profoundly true. Mary was indeed cradling a loaf of bread in her arms, the bread of life, the one who would feed the whole world with his love, joy, and peace. I wonder if you've ever thought about what the word Bethlehem means. You may have heard the name Bethlehem 1,000 times. We have already, I think, sung the name Bethlehem several times tonight and will again several times through the rest of the remainder of this service. You've heard that name countless times, hundreds, thousands of times. You may have seen depictions of Bethlehem on Christmas cards and in movies. You may even have a sort of depiction of Bethlehem in your front yard right now. But have you ever wondered what the name Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. And do you know what a manger is? I wonder if, just like Bethlehem, if the word manger is something that has become so commonplace in our retellings and recountings of the nativity story that it's just one more prop, one more thing in the backdrop, some more noise in our romantic holiday revelry. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed and all that. Yeah, but what is a manger? A manger is a feeding trough. A manger is a place that animals come to eat. That's not Jesus. That's challah, Addie said. And she was right. Because the one cradled in Mary's arms was also the one who was born in the little town of House of Bread. And the same one who was laid to sleep in a trough used to feed animals. The one cradled in Mary's arms was also the one who grew up and called himself the bread of life. And who in his very last meal with his very best friends referred to the bread that he broke and shared with them as his own body. Yes, the one Mary cradled in her arms that fateful night long ago was nothing less than God coming into the world to satisfy the profound and gnawing hunger that we feel as human beings. Because I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. And not for figgy pudding, either. I'm hungry for peace and justice. For the tools of violence to finally be turned into the tools of tranquility, as the prophet Isaiah foretold. I'm hungry for the virtues of peace, patience, and self-control to have more influence over the leaders of the world than fear, cynicism, and contempt. I'm hungry for refugees to find safety and welcome, and for innocent children to no longer be victimized by the Herods of our own day and age. I'm hungry for our nation to truly at last repent of the sin of racism, and for compassion to be a real, tangible force at work, guiding, moving our church, our city, our country, our world. I'm hungry for plain old-fashioned kindness, for people to begin to default to being kind to one another whenever a doubt arises about what to do. My God, am I hungry? And I wonder tonight what you're hungry for. Because I have a hunch that you came here tonight at this late service at Transfiguration. I have a hunch that you came here with a gnawing feeling in your gut, a sense of yearning and need in the depths of your soul that you desperately long to satisfy. You brought it with you to church tonight, but I think you probably had that same feeling last week, didn't you? That hunger? Last month? And we could all try to fill it with all the stuff that's so easy and ready to hand this time of year. Far too many trips to the mall. Way too much sugar. Much too much alcohol. But whether it's the shopping or the scotch, the overwork or the oxycodone, the humbling truth is that you can't fill this hunger with any of that stuff. And you know that you're trying to fill the hunger inside of you with the wrong things when you use lots of energy, and in the end, you feel emptier and less comfortable than ever. if we're willing to wipe away the filters of nostalgia and sentimentality, if we'll let the eyes of our hearts look out with truth and clarity, we can indeed go to Bethlehem. And we can gaze down at the manger in order to see the cure for our desperate hunger. Because the one lying in the manger is the one who shows us the way to be nourished, to be filled, to be content. He is there, our Jesus, whose very name means salvation, who is none other than God with us. And he offers himself as food for our starving souls. He gives himself over to us, to our desperately hungry world, as the answer for our emptiness. Because you see, we're hungry for forgiveness. To know that we are not defined by the worst that we have done, and not enslaved by the worst things that have been done to us. And so he comes, and he shows us what forgiveness really means, what it's really like, what it's able to make possible. We're hungry for healing, to be made whole from all the things that afflict and impair and degrade us. And so he comes and he touches us, and he shows us that whatever may happen to our bodies, we can still be made truly whole. We're hungry for meaning and purpose. And he comes and he shows us this way filled with sacrifice, this way filled with challenge. And it's so beautifully hard that we finally realize that all of our small, selfish, petty pursuits, we realize why it is that they never satisfied us before. We're hungry for love, most of all. We're hungry for love. For a love that lasts, that endures, that holds fast no matter what, and makes us finally and fully who we were always meant to be. And he shows us that this sort of love is more than a word. It's more than some sort of sentiment or feeling. It's a way. It's a movement. And it binds up and it builds up and it reaches out. Yes, we are hungry people. And the only thing that can satisfy, the only one who can satisfy us is the bread of life. He is the nourishment we seek. To satisfy that yearning, that soul deep, bone deep, aching hunger, we must come to the manger and we must eat of this bread. See, he's been ready to feed us ever since his first night on earth. Since the moment he arrived in the little town of House of Bread and was laid to sleep in a feeding trough, Jesus has come to love us and to save us and to feed us, body and soul. So bring yourself this night. Bring your deepest hungers, your greatest needs. Bring your longing and all of your desperation. Bring it all to the manger to meet the bread of life. And all of God's people said,